Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I really like being here in Canada. You know, I'm really happy that I was born in Canada.
Hello and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to it. And today we are going to take just a few minutes to remember the life and career of Gordon Lightfoot, who passed at the age of 84. The news just came out yesterday, and we've been doing, of course, far too many of these Rest in Power episodes. And on the surface, you may not think of Gordon Lightfoot as a towering figure in musical history, but when you take it some time to consider, look at some of the things that happened over his career, and more importantly, look at the impact his songwriting had, not only when he was the one singing it, but when others covered his songs. He had a very deep influence, a very lasting influence, and certainly was one of the most important Canadian musicians of all time. Many people consider him Canada's greatest songwriter of the modern folk pop rock era. He achieved his fame while staying based in Canada, unlike musicians like Neil Young and Joni Mitchell. He didn't move to the United States and achieve his success. He did spend some time here and some time in the UK, but he mainly was based in Canada and rooted his songwriting in the things that happened to him and the experiences he had. He once told an interviewer, "I simply write the songs about where I am and where I'm from. I take situations and write poems about them." Gordon Lightfoot was born on November 17, 1938, in Orilla, Ontario. His parents knew that he could sing at a young age, and he began singing in church. He eventually taught himself to play piano and guitar, and he played whenever he got the chance in folk groups and pop groups. He spent a little while in Los Angeles studying music at Westlake College and returned to Canada, Toronto, because he missed his hometown and home country. By the year 1962, he had started recording music, and he released two singles on a small label of that year, and they made the regional charts. But more importantly, when others began recording his songs, notably Ian and Sylvia, the great Canadian folk duo, the Kingston Trio, Judy Collins, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, importantly, began to record some of his early tunes, and they turned them into hits. And one great example is the endearing and enduring Gordon Lightfoot song, "Early Morning Rain."
In the early morning rain, with a dollar in my head, with an aching in my heart, in my pockets full of sand, I'm a long way from home. Lord, I miss my loved one so. In the early morning rain, with no place to go, out on the runway number 9, Dick 707 set to go, and I'm stuck here in the grass with a pain that ever grows. Now the liquor tasted good, and the women all were fast. Down there she goes, my friend, she'll be rolling down at last. Hear the mighty engines roar, silver wing on high. She's away in westward bow, far above the clouds she'll fly, where the morning rain don't fall and the sun always shines.
During the 60s, he wrote a lot of topical songs, including one called Black Day in July, about the 1967 Detroit riot, and was able to write about historical events in a very unique and moving way. He would take the facts and turn them into a song, and he was deeply influenced by some Irish music when he was younger, especially those story kind of songs, and he was very moved by those things and developed his own style and really became one of the foremost proponents of this kind of songwriting. And even when the folk music boom began to slow down in the 1970s, he also had connections to country music and pop music. By the time the 1970s rolled around and the folk boom had pretty much petered out, he had transitioned into pop music, and he was an AM staple. He also did a ton of things for Canada, in the sense that once, the CBC commissioned him to write a Canadian Railroad trilogy about the railroads in Canada. And he often appeared at iconic sporting events on behalf of just sort of the music of Canada. He sang at the 100th Grey Cup game, and he would occasionally appear at Maple Leafs games and all kinds of things. He really was an icon to the people of Canada. He signed a contract with manager Albert Grossman, who also managed Bob Dylan, and Bob Dylan was a big fan of Gordon Lightfoot's, and vice versa. I think they inspired each other in many ways, sort of pushed each other to continue to write songs. He signed a management contract with Albert Grossman in 1965, and that certainly raised his profile, got him recording albums. His first album was released in 1966. It was called Lightfoot, and that included that song, Early Morning Rain. I think Elvis Presley even covered that song at one point during his career. One interesting footnote about Gordon Lightfoot's career is he was the opening act the night that Bob Dylan went electric at the Newport Folk Festival because of his contract with Albert Grossman. So he played an acoustic set right before Dylan went on with his band and tore rock and roll and folk music in half in one short set. But by the 1970s, his combination of country, folk, and pop music led to an incredible run of hits. And who doesn't know this song?
I can see her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. She's been looking like a queen in a sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Picture every move that a man could make. Getting lost in her loving is your first mistake. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sometimes I think it's a sin.
Now, I don't know if this is exactly true, but somewhere I was reading on the internet that Sundown was written about Gordon Lightfoot's girlfriend at the time, Kathy Smith. She later moved to Los Angeles, became a drug dealer. As far as I understand it, she ended up being the person who injected John Belushi with the combination of heroin and cocaine, a speedball that killed John Belushi. The album for me was Gord's Gold. And this was an album I picked up at some point when I was working in a record store. Album that you would put on and listen to, and sure, it was a greatest hits album, but it took you to weird places. I mean, some of the stuff you were singing about, it's almost like you were totally immersed in this world of Gordon Lightfoot. It's like for a while, like other music doesn't exist when you were listening to Gordon Lightfoot. And I think Bob Dylan had a quote along those lines that said something like, anytime I hear a Gordon Lightfoot song or anytime a Gordon Lightfoot song comes on the radio, I never want it to end. Like, I want it to last forever. And that's kind of how I felt when I listened to Gord's Gold. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't buy very many other albums by Gordon Lightfoot because you didn't really need them, at least in my opinion. I mean, the songs that are on this record are really incredible. If You Could Read My Mind, Ribbon of Darkness is an incredible song. And also the song I'm Not Saying, which is once even covered by Paul Westerberg and the Replacements for the Slim Dunlap tribute album. The Canadian Railway Trilogy is on there. Early Morning Rain, of course. Sundown. Summer Side of Life. Now, that's a great, great Gordon Lightfoot song. Circle of Steel and Old Dan's Records. That always made me think.
Get out Old Dan's Records. Get out Old Dan's Records. We will dance the whole night long. It's fun to play the old time songs. If Old Dan could see us now, I know he'd be so proud. Bring out Old Dan's Records. Bring out Old Dan's Records. I remember my Aunt Dee. She danced with Dan till 2 or 3. If Old Dan could see her now, I know he'd shout out loud. Dig out Old Dan's records. Bring out Old Dan's records. We're all here, we've all got dates. We'll dance all night to the 78s. If Old Dan could see us now, I know he'd be so proud. If Old Dan was with us still, I know he'd come around.
Gordon Lightfoot suffered from a lot of health problems during his life, too. He was always battling things, and he had some very terrible health problems during his life. He was once in a coma for more than 3 months after a aortic stomach problem, and once had a mini stroke on stage. He suffered from Bell's palsy, and many of these health problems may have been exacerbated by his alcoholism, which I think he kicked sometime in the early 1980s. He stopped drinking. There was a good quote from Gordon Lightfoot that said, you know, I realized when the people that were really close to me were questioning my judgment and my ability to make decisions, that's when I decided to stop drinking. However, once I did, people close to me were still questioning my ability to make decisions. So I found that to be pretty interesting. Also, an interesting note, too, is that I found this in the very well done, for the most part, biography by Rolling Stone, even though they have in their article earning morning rain instead of early morning rain. But hey, we don't have time to pay editors anymore in this world, right? Lightfoot once survived his own death announcement in 2011, according to this article. He says, quote, I was driving past Mount Pleasant Cemetery, Lightfoot told the Winnipeg Free Press, and I heard Charles Adler start to play If You Could Read My Mind, and he began reading my obituary. All I did was step on the gas. I think he said at one point, if I'm still picking and I'm still kicking, or if I'm still kicking, I'll be picking. So he, despite all these things and despite struggling after his stomach health problems, that, you know, he was able to do as much as he could, and he continued to tour. And I know that intern Sam saw him play in Ithaca, New York, where Sam was attending school not all that long ago in relative terms, especially for somebody who started his career in the 1960s. But I just like to think about beauty, the simplicity of Gordon Lightfoot's songs and the craft that he put into these things. I mean, it wasn't like he was tossing these things off. And although he was prolific, he put out many, many albums during his career, but he just had a way of putting a song together. Think of a song like Song for a Winter's Night that's incredibly beautiful. And of course, you know, there's one song that doesn't appear on Gord's Gold that may be his best known song, and that song is The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And I know he has said that that was an incredible undertaking for him. He got all the newspaper clippings, got all the history, and knew already that he had a melody in his mind that also came from one of those old Irish songs that he liked so much. Put it all together in one of the most, you know, iconic story songs, iconic tale, history tales, history songs, whatever you want to call it, in songwriting history, for sure. There's also a documentary out there called Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind, that came around 2019 or so. And it was about the time that Gordon was celebrating his 80th birthday. And it's amazing, given all the things he overcame, that he made it. So spend some time this week listening to some Gordon Lightfoot and just remind yourself of what an incredible songwriter he was. He definitely was a songwriter from a different period than we're in now, but there's a lot of more simplicity and more directness and more emotion in his songs than many, many songs that are put out every day. So I don't think that Gordon Lightfoot's name, songs, and reputation would have endured as long as it has without him being an absolutely top-level songwriter. So rest in power, Gordon Lightfoot, and wherever you are now and whatever plane you've crossed into, whatever sphere, I hope that you have some time to be by yourself and sit under a tree and write a song about the whole experience, because I'm sure that would be pretty, pretty good. All right. Well, another sad event, but we will be back tomorrow with something on a happier note. I am Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to say to you, rest in power, Gordon Lightfoot, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well, or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way script, into number two, a movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back.
Other music doesn't exist when you're listening to Gordon Lightfoot.